You can turn to Exodus 16. I'm going to read from Exodus 16. And then I'm going to read from John chapter 6, which is the fulfillment of Exodus 16. I've been singing a song to myself this morning, Heavenly Sunlight. I don't think you all have sung it. But I was walking across the parking lot and just a beautiful sunshine. And I thought of that song that Mike used to lead us in singing back at 13th Street, at Heavenly Sunlight. And I pray this morning that the Lord will give us that in this service. Heavenly S-O-N. Light. The title of this is Jesus Christ. It's a long title for me. You can shorten it, but Jesus Christ is the true manna from heaven. He is the true manna. He is the true bread of life that came down from heaven. Son of God to give life to sinners like you and me. Exodus 16, I'm going to read in verse 11 through 18 and verse 31. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It's manna, or what is it? What is it? They'd never seen it before. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. And I like that, what Moses said. This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. Now, when we go over to John chapter 6, they attribute that to Moses. And the Lord said, Moses gave you not that bread. Moses didn't do that. And here Moses says, the Lord has given you this bread to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. You know, Christ is enough. Christ is enough. And they gathered every man according to his eating. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Now go to John 6. In John 6, verse 28, Then said they unto him, I'll wait till I hear the pages quit rattling. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see, and believest thou? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven. And they are referring to Moses. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And now look down in verse 48. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We had the manna back in Exodus, a type, a picture, and that's all it was. It was a type, a picture. And here we have the real. We have the real manna, the true bread from heaven. And we who preach the gospel are to preach Christ and Him crucified, not only from the New Testament, but from the Old Testament also. It's to take Christ revealed in the New Testament and take Him back to the Old Testament in our preaching, and take the type and say, here, and put them together. Here it is. And it has such a clear message and such a clear picture, because the scriptures are all about Him. You know, the Bible is one book. We call it Old New Testament, but it's one book. It's God's Word. It's one book with one message, Christ and Him crucified. And it's given by the one and only true God. God has given us this book. It was written by men. God used men just like He's using me this morning. But it's given of God. It's inspired of God. It's God breathed. And our Lord here in John chapter 6, He reaches back to that Old Testament type and identifies Himself as the fulfillment of it. I'm the bread from heaven. I'm it. I'm the manna. I'm the life-giving manna. You see, that manna in the Old Testament, it didn't give life. Christ says, I'm the life-giving bread. Because once it was kept, if it was kept overnight, it stank. It says it stank. Our Lord never stinks. He's the ever-living bread. You see, bread that's not living, what's it do? It molds. I took a piece of bread out here a week or two ago, and I took a bite into it, and it was molded on one side. I looked at that when I took it. I went, oh, my soul. I threw that whole loaf away. Our Lord never molds. He's ever living. He's the living bread. If it's living, it doesn't mold. If it's dead, it'll mold. And He's the living bread. He's the true bread from heaven. You know, it's written in Revelation 2:17, John writes, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Hidden from the world. The world doesn't know Him. You do. You know Him. But the world out there doesn't know Him. The religious world out there doesn't know Him. They don't know Him, but you do. God has enabled us, some of us here, to eat of the hidden manna. And it also speaks of that manna that was put in a golden pot and put in the ark. It was put in there and it was kept in there. Christ is that true manna, that hidden manna. Well, what I want to do here, I want to make a comparison of the type, and the real. Benjamin Keach has a book that I have in there. It's about that thick, and it's a good book. It's Preaching from the Types and Metaphors of the Bible. Henry used it in this outline, and I went back yesterday, a couple days ago. I went back and there was he had so many comparisons, but I just put down a few of them. Some of them was what Henry had, and some of them was just what John Keach had. But first of all, manna was of God. It was of God. Israelites didn't come up with this. It's not something they come up with. It's of God. And it was given to Israel, listen, in the wilderness. It wasn't given to them in Egypt. It wasn't until they was in the wilderness. They couldn't provide for themselves. They moved all the time. They didn't have time to plant a garden. They were constantly moving. So God gave them this bread. And this bread was of God. It was given to Israel. It was not given to Egypt. It was given to Israel. Christ is given to his church, his people. He's received by his church. The world can't receive him. Listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man doesn't receive Jesus Christ or the blessings of Christ. But you do. God's people do. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. This true bread from heaven is given to God's people. That's who it's given to. And it's given to them where? In the wilderness. Where are we? In the wilderness. This world is the wilderness. And God's given it to us. God's given his son to us. And then manna was white, speaking of his purity. This speaks of the purity of our Lord. Christ knew no sin. The bread from heaven knew no sin. Tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. No sin of thought. There was no sin in his birth because he wasn't born from the seed of a man. God created him. That's right. Jesus Christ is the man. The man is a creation of God. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born. You see, the son is given, but the child is born. And he's given him to us. But it speaks here of his purity. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy. He's called the Holy One of Israel. And then manna was a small round thing. It said there in verse 14 of Exodus. It's a small round thing. You know, if you see something that's round, this hit me when I was reading this. When you see a round circle, if it's a circle, what is it? It's complete. It's complete. Our Lord is complete. You know the whole fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily? In him you are complete because he is complete. It's a small round thing. And then small, our Lord is small in the eyes of this world. He was despised and rejected of men. He was small in the eyes of the Jews when he came. Who are you? They said, you're the carpenter's son. You're the carpenter's son. He's not small in your eyes, is he? But he is in the eyes of this world. He really is. And then manna was a strange, mysterious thing. That's why they said when they saw it, what is it? Manna, what is it? They'd never seen it before. They didn't know what it was. I said, what is it? You know, our Lord is a very mysterious person. He's very mysterious. He said to those Jews, you neither know me nor my father. They thought they knew it. We know you. You're the carpenter's son. You neither know me nor my father. You don't know who I am. You don't know me at all. He is God incarnate. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. Great, it says in 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The one who made the world came into the world, and the world didn't even know him. They didn't know who he was. God standing in their midst, God standing in front of them, and they didn't know him, didn't recognize him at all. The living God became a real man and dwelt among us. He was numbered with the transgressors. He stood in line with us. What a mystery. And they didn't know him. We didn't know him either until he made himself known to us. If he had not revealed himself to us, we would still not know him. We wouldn't know him at all. We'd be caught up. We'd be religious. We're all religious by nature. You know, most of those whom the Lord saves come out of religion, come out of false religion. Most whom God saves come out of false religion. Rarely is it someone who's not made some kind of a profession or confessions. Rarely. They're usually all, they come out of false religion. And then this, listen, it's mysterious. It appeared without the assistance of the Israelites or any man, any person. It just appeared. They got up that morning, went out, and the dew melted off, and there was manna. There was manna. You know, our Lord came into this world without the assistance of any man. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. There was no assistance whatsoever by any human being in the birth of Christ. He's a creation of the Holy Spirit in the womb of that virgin. And then manna was prepared. Listen, it was prepared in heaven and it came to earth. It wasn't prepared on earth. It came down. It came down from heaven. You know, the people of, it says in Numbers 11:9, the people of Israel had to have food. They didn't have any. They couldn't plant, as I said, they couldn't plant a garden. They were constantly traveling. They were constantly on the move in the wilderness. They were pilgrims, just like us. We are pilgrims. And so they couldn't plant any food, and it was impossible for them to provide anything for themselves in the wilderness. So God provided for them from heaven. Jesus Christ is God's provision for a multitude of lost sinners. That one day is going to, all of them are going to wind up in paradise. All of them. Every one of them. Our Lord said this, a body hast thou prepared me. He came down from heaven. And all the nourishment that we need is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that they ate this for 40 years? And we don't read anywhere where they was ever sick. Their shoes didn't wax old. Remember that? Their shoes didn't wax old or clothes. God provided for them. God provided. They were never sick. God provided for them. He gave manna, water out of a rock. God provided for them. God has provided all things for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, how we ought to, that ought to thrill us every time we hear it. Every time we think of it. The Lord has provided for us. We don't have to provide anything. And this manna was provided for them who were hungry. You hungry? Did you come here hungry? I assure you this, if you came hungry, God will feed you the bread of life this morning. If you didn't come hungry, You're not gonna get anything. You're not hungry. Have you ever had somebody that's fixed food and said, "Here, have these." I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry. But I tell you this: the hungry eat and the thirsty drink. They do. And then here's something that I thought of here. I read this morning and I added this in. The manna was beaten and baked. It speaks of Christ's suffering and death, that we may eat him, eat his flesh, drink his blood. It's Christ crucified, isn't it? It's not just Christ. It's Christ and him crucified. Listen to this in Numbers 11:8. And the people went about and gathered it, the manna, and ground it in meals or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. This speaks of his suffering, his death. Here's something else interesting. I'm not going to go back and read it, but in Numbers 11:8, you remember when I very first read this, it said the people, God has heard your murmuring, complaining. And well, over in Numbers chapter 11, go back and read that. It says they were a mixed company. there was a company that came out with them of Egyptians that came out with them, and they started complaining. They wanted the fish and the leaves and the onions and all that they had back in Egypt. And then and the people of Israel was drawn into that. It was drawn into that. Evil companions corrupt good manners. The mixed company got them to complaining because they were complaining, and then next thing you know, they're all complaining. And the point being, evil companions corrupt good manners. We are the company we keep. But in verse 8 there, they grounded it in meals and they beat it in a mortar, and then a mortar, and then they baked it. Boy, does that not speak of the sufferings of Christ? It does. And then the manna was pleasant to the taste. It tasted like wafer made with honey. 1 Peter 2:3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Is his grace still amazing to you? Is it still amazing? You know, after nearly almost 50 years now, God's grace is still, it's more amazing to me. I mean that. It's more amazing that God would save me, that God would make me one of his own, that God would make me a son, that God would save my soul, that God would bring me into his heaven, his presence, his holy presence, and allow me and let me enjoy eternity in paradise. And I had zero to do with it. Nothing. There by the grace of God. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Sweet to the taste. It said grace poured from his lips. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Our Lord becomes all things to those who need him. Now, in closing, Benjamin Keach pointed these things out. Henry pointed them out. Type, any type can only go so far because that's what it is. It's type. Christ is the real. He's the perfection of the type. But in a lot of ways, the type has to stop. In Exodus, if they gathered on the Sabbath day, you know, they were in trouble for that. But if they kept it for an extra day, it stank. It just putrefied. But listen here, manna was for food for the body, the outward man, the body. Christ is food for the soul. The true bread from heaven is, he's food for that inner man. And then the manna was eaten by those who later died. Didn't the Lord say, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead? We eat Christ and we never die. We never die. Those of you who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you feast on Christ, you will never die. Put that on your refrigerator. You will never die. I have buried the body of believers here, but I've never buried the believer. They're in heaven. I just buried the house. I buried the house. That's all I did. And then the manna, listen, the manna rotted and decayed when it was kept too long. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the living manna. He ever lives. And he abides the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never stinks. He never gets old. Not to those of you who believe. Now, there was a bunch of them that got sick and tired of it. They called it light bread. Light bread. We're tired of this light bread. A free meal, and they got sick and tired of it. Beggars can't be choosers. How many beggars goes down to the food bank and says, here's my order for tomorrow? No, you're going to eat what is put in front of you. God has given us his son to feast on forever, not just a day, but forever. And then the manna was only found in the morning. He didn't find it at noon. He didn't find it in the evening. Quails in the evening. God flooded that place with quail every day. Every day. I mean, they came into camp, and my mind got a little carried away with this one. I was thinking they had to be tamed or maybe chasing around like chickens in a yard. They weren't. There they came, and they just reached down and picked them up, just like they did the manna. You didn't see a bunch of Israelites running all over the place trying to catch a quail. And then the manna ceased when they entered Canaan. They didn't have the manna no more. Our Lord, who's the bread of life, is our bread forever. It says, I read that to you there in Revelation chapter 2, I think it was. I'll give them, those who overcome, I'll give them to eat of the hidden manna. He's forever. Christ, the bread of life, is we will feast on him spiritually forever. We will feed on him forever. The life we have in glory is the continual life flowing from Christ to us. It's his life in us. We have his life. In glory, our Lord will be the subject of praise. He'll be the subject of our song, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." We'll sing that. We'll sing it perfectly as we ought to sing it. And we'll love him as we ought to love him. And for the first time, we'll worship him as we ought to worship him. Worship him without being molested by sin. You can't sit there in a service, and I know, and stand here and preach in a service and not be molested by sin. And then sooner or later, that's going to be gone. And it's going to be a true worship service. Jesus Christ is the true manna, the bread that cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world.